Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. We are brought to you by mybookie.ag. I've told you a lot about them over the last couple weeks. They've been a great friend to me and the Locked On Network. I will tell you more about them in a little bit, but you play, you win, you get paid, you use our promo code. It's a different one than I told you about before. It's going to be Locked On. It's for the entire Locked On Network now. We got a different deal with them. Very appreciative of our friends at MyBookie. They have been kicking butt. But I will tell you a little bit about them more later. But the plan for today, as we do every Monday during the season, is we're going to review a few games, some of the prominent ones, and one's always a Steeler game. Sorry, non-Steeler fans, but such is life. Just got done doing my Steeler hit with local radio and Steelers Nation Radio. So let's talk about them all over this game. I'll tell you about that first, and then two other featured games. Lots to discuss. Clearly, it was a big deal, and somewhat hidden throughout the week, but whenever the Vikings called up a quarterback from the practice squad on Saturday, seemed pretty apparent that they didn't think that Bradford was going to play in this game. So, the writing's kind of on the wall. You learn to find these things out. You know, they can only hide so much. He supposedly threw a couple passes pregame and to no avail. And so the Steelers got Case Keenum. And after having DeShone Kizer the first week, then they go to Chicago next week where they get Glennon, and then they play the play against Flacco, and then they'll get Bortles. So this Steeler defense, I think, is really good and really athletic and rushes the passer really well and has a lot of first, second, third round picks coming into their own. But it's also not real easy to analyze because, you know, how much is Case Keenum and DeShone Kizer making his first ever start going to pick you apart? So clearly they've gotten some breaks, and it is tough to analyze. Just some news and notes here. Jesse James is injured on the first play, and McDonald was inactive. I think he won't be out long. But, you know, James came back quickly after. Vikes moved the ball a little after on the next drive. Watt with a swat, and then he got injured a little after that, too. He may be out a game or two. So I've talked about how I really like the Steelers' defensive front. Tuitt didn't play in this game. Watt was injured early. They didn't play Harrison a snap. That's a little peculiar. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing there. But they won without him. They really like Chickalo as a depth player. Dupree is coming into his own quite a bit. Cam Hayward was an utter superstar in this game. Probably the best player on the field, in my opinion. Martavis Bryant's in that conversation, but I thought Hayward was superb. And the Vikes O-line struggled, and Keenum held the ball a little bit too. And, you know, I'm looking at this game, and I have a lot of these notes that I take as I go, just going step by step. I'm not sure we need to do that, you know, talking about every little play of the game. I thought a couple things of note were, let's start with the Steelers' offense. I didn't think Roethlisberger played very well, and I didn't think he played very well last week. I thought he needs to take the check down more. I think he's trying to go for the big play all the time. Sometimes he only has eyes for Antonio Brown. And Xavier Rhodes did a great job on Brown. It didn't show up in the box score, but Brown drew a long pass interference call on Rhodes. That needs to be taken into account. But that was basically a draw. I mean, that's a big deal and really impressive work by Rhodes. He's turning into one of the best corners in the league. Martavis, though, took advantage, and he looked a lot better than he did in week one. He took a quick slant to the house, untouched against Newman, that Newman had no chance on. Never touched him. You know, I mean, the Steelers' offensive line struggled, particularly Villanueva, the left tackle. He was in and out of the game and was dealing with some illness, and but he hasn't played well in a while. That's the weakest link on the line. Everson Griffin was really, really good in this game. Le'Veon Bell had quite a few touches, unlike week one. the stat, you know, if you have him on your fantasy team, you're probably not thrilled with it, but I think that's coming. Steelers blocking wasn't great, but I think the Vikings deserve a lot of credit here too, and the Vikes offense didn't help them a lot. But Bell withstood the big workload, looked like the same player at the beginning of the game as the end. I think that's big for his coming back process and, you know, shows that he is the man. But didn't do a lot with it. You know, the blocking wasn't great, and I think he probably could have done a better job of taking care, you know, hitting the hole a little harder at times. And with his running style, it's hard to criticize, but sometimes if you're a little, quote, too patient, you know, that sometimes you got to take what's there, and I think he could do a little bit better job with that. But he does show some burst, and not still a huge factor in the passing game, but I think that'll come. So the Steelers offense, you know, I mentioned the Steelers defense, in 2 weeks they haven't run the ball well, and we all tend to think that this is a really good O-line, a great back, the running game will come. Maybe I'm being optimistic with black and gold colored glasses, but I think the best is yet to come still for this offense, and I think that they can become one of the best offenses in the league. I mean, I really do. We haven't seen it, though, and it's a little disconcerting, and Ben hasn't been wonderful. But again, the Vikes deserve a lot of credit. Really athletic on the second level. Hard to run against. Good edge pressure, especially from Griffin. Xavier Rhodes on AB was really well done. On the other side of the ball, I don't think Keenum played poorly. They also had a lot of penalties, a lot of pass interference calls, too, that, you know, that on Minnesota. And so that didn't show up in the box score, but, if those are real yards. I don't think Keenum played poorly. Didn't kill the team. But certainly Bradford would have made throws that Keenum doesn't, or fit him into tighter windows, or attempted throws that Keenum can't make, or, you know, executed the offense a little crisper. I mean, certainly it would have been a much different game, I think, with Bradford in there, although I still think Pittsburgh's probably the better of the two. Didn't get a lot of Cook action. He showed up late, but, you know, they didn't have a lot of real favorable situations. And I thought the Steelers secondary held up well against a good set of weapons. I mentioned the Steelers' defensive front is really impressive to me, and we still haven't seen it at its best. You know, I want to see Tuitt and Hayward flanked by Watt and Dupree. Haven't seen that yet. You know, maybe Mixon Harrison, who has hardly played at all this year. But they have some depth now with Hargrave, and I thought Shazier was all over the field. I thought Artie Burns played a very good game in this one, too. A couple other notes. You know, the Watt injury is a little bit of a concern. I didn't think Ben and AB connected as well as they should, but Rhodes had an awful lot to do with it. Really strong up front for the Steelers' defense. But again, Rhodes was really, really good in this game, too. What else do we got here? A weird fake punt that I think Minnesota would like to take back. Matakevich broke that one up. He's the same guy that blocked the punt in the first game. What else do we got here? Again, I thought Keenum stood in, delivered well for the most part. Cook did break off a 25-yard run, and Diggs had a nice play, you know, later in the game, too. And the Vikes, you know, made it a game there. It was 17-10 at one point, but, you know, Steelers quickly, you know, were on top of this. I do think it's noteworthy, and this is much different than what we saw before. The Steelers only blitz Keenum on 15% of his dropbacks, only 6 out of 39. A couple other notes here. I know these are Steelers-centric, and it just happens to be that way. I'm not cheating in on their favor, but just some notes I thought were interesting from them. Steelers improved to 22-3, where in games where Bell has at least 20 rushes. Bell ran the ball on 17 of the Steelers' first 32 plays, you know, which is crazy. First down plays, I'm sorry. On first down, the Steelers had 32 first down plays, and Bell got a carry on 17 of them. Where in week one, the Steelers had 25 first down plays, and Bell only got 4 of those carries. So clearly they wanted to feature him and get him a lot of touches and comfortable with him, although he was not great, but, you know. Keenum only completed 54.1% of his passes. That is worse than any of Bradford's 16 games in a Vikings uniform. So, I didn't think Keenum was terrible. The Steelers have kind of lucked out into Kaiser Keenum. The rest of the schedule, the first half of the season, isn't real frightening either, that's for sure. But you can only play who's, you know, against you. Hopefully Bradford's not out super long. It said it's a bone bruise on his knee. I just read that recently. I don't know how long that's going to be. But they need him back in a bad way. I mean, for them to get to where I think they can be as a team, they need absolutely need Bradford. And that's not a knock on Keenum. I mean, he's fine as a backup. The Steelers, I'm really coming around on the defense, but how much have they been tested? Offense hasn't shown up yet, but I certainly think it will. All right, at the start of the show, I told you I was going to tell you more about our buddies at mybookie.ag. You know, and ever since I've been in this business, people are always asking me, you know, who to pick this weekend. I mean, betting's obviously gigantic. All my buddies do it. I'm sure all you guys do, too. Why wouldn't you? And you guys listen to the Friday show. I tell you who the winners are. And, you know, that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie's been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing, which is the best part going. And they have the fastest payouts, just 2 business days for the payouts. That's unbelievable. You know who's going to win, I tell you that. So you lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend the service to my listeners. It's been good to me, and they absolutely have been. I've been enjoying their service quite a bit. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to mybookie.ag. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze, which is really cool. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Like, that amazes me. Like, you're going to go here, put $250, and they're going to give you another $250 just on top of that. Like, what? That's insane. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You know, that's changed from last week, so if you've heard of some other weekend or past, you know, switch that up. Use the LOCKEDON promo code. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. It's great stuff. Get to the next featured game. Dallas goes to Denver, where they got wiped out. I didn't see this coming. Dallas, you know, the key here, there's a couple keys. Denver's run defense was problematic last year. Great defense, I get that, but, you know, their defense was about a modern-day defense of rushing the passer and playing great corner press coverage, and they're the best we've seen in a long time doing that. But I thought their run defense was a problem last year, and bad recipe with Dallas in their line and Zeke and Dak coming to town. I thought Dallas would control the game on the ground. Well, boy, did they not. And Simeon now, 2 weeks in a row, has played well, is delivering the football where it needs to be, isn't hurting the team, and Denver's running the ball. C.J. Anderson looks great. There's holes for him. You know, Dallas's defense is a problem. So tomorrow is power ranks, and you Denver fans, I know I've been rough on you, but I think you will be happy where I've moved them up from, you know, 2 weeks ago. Actually, there'll be a lot of movement in the power ranks. Urge you very strongly to check that out. So kind of going here hard by hard. Or, you know, starting off here. Really nice first drive by Simeon. Touchdown to Sanders. Well done. You know, Anderson's running well. Dallas giving Denver very little resistance on the first 2 drives. And Denver missed a field goal. So it's only 7-0 at this point. And it feels like Denver's starting to run away with it, but it's only 7-0. Really raining hard. You know, so that starts to become a factor. Denver D seems very intent on stopping the run and leaving their corners alone. We saw Roby on Dez a lot. Then, boom, the weather delay kicks in for about an hour. And my thought was, maybe this is what Dallas needs. You know, they're getting outplayed. Go back to the drawing board. Shorten the game, you know, in the high air. Maybe they don't have to play as long. Get, you know, recharge the batteries. Get some fluid. Figure out what you're doing wrong. Well, that wasn't the case. So, quickly after the delay, Lawrence whips Watson, which Watson's a problem at right tackle, and now Bowles is out at left tackle, so this is something to be concerned about for Denver. Mentally, Collins scoops a ball, almost scores, first and goal on the 3, fade stop, touchdown to Dez against Tlaib, it's 7-7. So I'm thinking, maybe I'm right, you know, Dallas comes back, looking like they're in good shape, and make this a game after looking terrible before the delay. Lawrence with another big sack. He's been playing really well this year and is a key for them. And then gets a 15-call leveraging call. You know, I never even heard of a leveraging call before this on a field goal attempt. I mean, it's a new rule, but man, I mean, it didn't help anything. It's a 15-yard play. And then two plays later, Anderson catch and run touchdowns, 14-7. Just a gigantic penalty. At this point, I mean, my notes are just first downs are very hard for Dallas to come by. You know, and then Sanders quickly adds another touchdown. He's really a good player, too. I mean, just a great route runner, explosive. Doesn't get the credit he deserves around the league, too. I mean, he's a really quality dude. But then Dallas comes back. They give enough, does enough to give Bailey a shot from 56 yards out to finish the half. He nails it in the light air for a long-distance field goal, but he's a great kicker anyway. So that's huge, you know, especially with Denver getting the ball in the second half. It's only 21-10. You're still in it. But at this point, too, Dallas's cornerback situation is a problem. Skandrick didn't dress. He was already out. They didn't dress Ben Wickery for this game. They kept themselves a little light at the corner position, which probably wasn't smart in hindsight. As Awuzie and Carroll both got injured in this game. I'd mentioned the Bowles injury. No, by the way, just so many injuries around the league this weekend. Bad, really bad. Maybe we'll go over those a little bit more as we power rank tomorrow. Quickly after that, play action near the goal line, touchdown, Victor Green, 28-10. Basically, the route is on. In and out of Dez's hands, interception by Terrace, good return into after that. Turning into a blowout after C.J. Anderson long touchdown run. Anderson has a great game, looks really good, really, really happy with what he looks like. So this is really unfamiliar territory for Dak, too. I mean, zero big plays from the Dallas offense. First downs are nowhere to be found. Dak is never playing from behind, especially like this, and Von Miller's just starting to tee off. You know, this is the worst thing that could happen for this team. Simeon on a broken play throws an interception to Lewis. Demaryius had no clue. It looked like it was coming. Leads to a Witten touchdown, 35-17. Okay. You know, I mean, it's a little more respectable at that point. But, and Dallas didn't lay down. You know, I mean, they kept coming at hard. How about the last play of the game? I mean, Dak throws, you know, trying to get in the end zone. The game's basically over. And Talib takes a pick six over 100 yards, jumps in the stands. Like, that's awesome. Couple little things of note, though. 16 targets to Dez. Only completed 7 of them for 59 yards. I mean, Dez has had 2 really back-to-back tough matchups. You know, Jenkins is awesome, and these corners are awesome. We saw a lot of Roby on him. So I don't think by any means that he's the problem. But this team needs more. You know, Witten's a slow move the chains guy. We know what he is. I mean, Beasley, they could maybe get more from him. What if Terrence Williams was actually decent? You know, like, rarely has this come up in Dak's career, but they need another guy when it gets to be a game like this, because they inevitably happen to everybody. You know, 50 pass attempts from Dak Prescott in this game. I mean, if you ever tell me that Dak throws 50 times in a game, I'm going to tell you Dallas loses. And that's not a knock on Dak. That's just not who they are. But Denver deserves a lot of credit. I mean, they have a lot of balance on both sides of the ball now. No glaring weaknesses. Simeon's playing much better than I thought. Defense is stopping the run. I was curious about that. We know that they're great against the pass. Offensive line, the tackle situation does worry me going forward. There's just no way around that. But Demaryius and especially Sanders playing really well. C.J. Anderson playing really well. Booker's due back sort of soon. Simeon holding down the fort. So AFC West is strong, man. And Denver's really impressive. You'll see this in the power ranks next week, but Oakland, Kansas City, Denver all move up big in the power ranks and are more contenders than I originally thought. I think I was wrong about that. All right, last game I want to discuss is the one probably all you guys watched. It's Green Bay and Atlanta. Expected it to be the best game of the year. Not the year, the week. First game in the new stadium. That stadium looks awesome, by the way. And I picked the Packers, but I will say, I'm not covering my butt, but I didn't know that both their offensive tackles were out of this game. Man, I mean, that was a game-changing situation. The interior of their offensive line's a little questionable anyway, and those two tackles are great, and Rodgers didn't trust his protection at all, couldn't extend plays, took a lot more hits. They need to get those guys healthy. Atlanta kicked their butt. They did. And I think that the Packers' secondary is far from fixed, although I'm really encouraged how King came in and played. I think he'll be a fixture for them. But a lot of injuries. I mean, that Mike Daniels injury was gigantic. Gigantic. And both sides suffered a lot of injuries. As like I said, there were so many around the league. But, man, I mean, they needed a pocket pusher, and I don't think their front is loaded with pass rushers. Remember how good he was last week? That was gigantic. But let's kind of buzz through this a little bit. Early in the game, Julio Jones is just smoking single coverage. You know, two big gains right off the bat. It's a great drive. Ended with a Freeman touchdown. Freeman played really well in this game, too. And in case I don't get to it when I get to these part of the notes, I really like how he sealed the game late on, too. I mean, he was the closer. That was great. But Schrader is injured after the play, after a great lead block by him. That's something to keep an eye on. The offensive line does not have depth, and the right guard, right tackle situation going forward for Atlanta is really, really concerning and something to keep an eye on. I'm really becoming a Ty Montgomery fan. I thought he's more impressive on every use or every time I see him. And in a way, I think they're starting to use him like David Johnson, you know, which makes sense. He's a wide receiver turned running back, but now I think he's comfortable enough that they can do those type of things with him. And the best days might be yet to come for him. But couple of Atlanta penalties on that drive, but a fine drive to answer with Montgomery finally getting the plunge touchdown. 7-7. You know, it looks like we're going to see a ton of points. Jordy has a quad injury. And then I go even worse. Mike Daniels has a hamstring. Questionable return. Neither one did. But Atlanta right then has an ugly 3-and-out. Ended by a sack. Right side, you know, big note here. Right side of O-line could be a huge problem. It wasn't the rest of the game, but it still worries me just going forward. You know, next time they get the ball, good long drive. The receivers are looking beastly. Best I've seen Sanu look, to be honest. Jones was unreal. Freeman finishes it with another short touchdown plunge, 14-7. Just some notes as I'm going on here. Rodgers is targeting Bennett often, but no completions. And that's kept up. I mean, just what's going on there? You know, in a way, it was kind of by default, too. You know, I mean, Nelson's out. And you would think Bennett would have some nice matchups here against, you know, really athletic, fast defense. I mean, this Falcons defense is impressive to me, especially at home. And this is a really fast football team, and they looked a lot faster on both sides of the ball at home in the dome than they did in kind of a, you know, not-so-great turf in Chicago. Almost looked like two different teams. But they're built for speed, especially on defense. Late in the half, Atlanta pass rush getting home, and a few near interceptions from Aaron Rodgers. But he's getting the ball out quick. You know, usually he holds ball a long time. And that's his game. He's awesome late in the down, but I don't think he trusts his protection. I mean, I thought that was an absolute huge factor here. Rodgers couldn't be Rodgers. You don't see that very often. Atlanta goes 3-and-out, and Green Bay gets the ball back before the half, but kept going backwards, and then Allison doesn't keep running on a route that ends up being a very nice interception by Trufant, who, honestly, if you don't know, is one of the best corners in the league and is a huge addition for this already improving Falcons defense. 47 seconds left in the half, 36-yard line, no timeouts. He connects with Sanu on the 8 versus Randall, who's playing the slot, who he hasn't done a lot of slot work. And then short, Tevin Coleman, receiving touchdown, 24-7 in the half. Yuck, you know, the Panthers are in trouble. Falcons are in control. First drive of second half, AR is blasted by Beasley. Backwards pass return for a touchdown by Trufant. Another big play by Trufant. Next drive, Beasley's injured. It sounds like he's going to be out a month or so. That's a big deal. There's no doubt about that. Very nice throw and safety manipulation by Aaron Rodgers on the touchdown to Adams. Missed two-point conversion. It's 34-16 at that point. Basically is over. But Rodgers throws his 300th career touchdown pass. Not the prettiest one. It's a shovel pass to Montgomery that we probably could have converted close to it. So now it's 34-23 with 5:51 left, you know, and you're thinking Super Bowl comeback, you know. It didn't go that way, but I bet there was some nervousness in the new building. You know, I'm just saying, you know, that all of a sudden was like, ooh, you know, Beasley's out and there's a lot of injuries. But, you know, the better team won, clearly. Cobb also had an injured shoulder. Just a ton of injuries in this game. We'll see. You know, I think Green Bay needs to get healthier. Their secondary was exposed, needing Daniels. Rodgers couldn't be himself. Protection was a big problem. The disconnect with Bennett was concerning. But Atlanta was really good. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I've certainly impressed with their defense. The offense did very, very well. One more note here. I mentioned Rodgers had his 300th career touchdown pass. It took only took him 144 games to throw 300 career touchdown passes. And the old record was 157 game by my man Dan Marino. You know, I just watched that Football Life. Love Marino. He's second all time. So still, I mean, took Marino 13 more games to get to 300 than Rodgers. Rodgers is one of the best of all time. Another Hall of Famer, just to discuss him and throw it out there because it's a remarkable stat, but Joe Thomas played his 10,000th straight snap on Sunday. 10,000 snaps in a row. I mean, high-level Hall of Fame-type snaps. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer to me. Things aren't going so great for the Brownies, though, and we will talk about that more tomorrow on the Power Ranks. See ya. Check out MyBookie again. Once again, like I said, mybookie.ag. Locked on is the new code, so check that out. Over and out.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you see what's going on with your business in real time, from accounting to order management and much more. You've outgrown your business management software. Let NetSuite help. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is a leading business management solution for growing companies. Get up and running fast with NetSuite.